This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Title 42 is set to end in 5 weeks, and one Customs and Border Protection source said the nightmare is beginning as Title 42 ends. Joining us to discuss this and a host of other issues is Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica, it's been too long. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Good to talk with you, Grace.
Now, Jessica, we've had you on before talking about Title 42. It's set to end in 5 weeks. There's a lot of people, people who are familiar with how the border is so overrun right now, saying that this is just going to be a cherry on top of what's already a complete disaster. What's your reaction to this, and how bad is it actually going to be?
Well, it is, if possible, even more of a disaster now. And the effects of this judge's ruling are already starting to be felt along the border. So this is Judge Sullivan, who is known for his very controversial rulings in the past on asylum. He basically thinks these cases should be decided by federal judges, despite what the law says. But anyway, nobody was surprised that he has ordered an end to Title 42. And just overnight, since that announcement of his decision came out, about 1,000 Venezuelans started flowing into El Paso, just on the news that Title 42 was doomed. Even though he has issued a 5-week stay of his order reluctantly, it was kind of weird, like he used all caps in his ruling to say, with great reluctance, I'm going to give the government 5 weeks to get ready for the coming tidal wave that's going to result from his ruling. Already they are starting. I mean, there are thousands of migrants who have been camped out in the big cities along the border just waiting for an end to Title 42, and they've already started to flow in, especially in El Paso. It's remarkable how quickly illegal border crossers and the people who smuggle them react to these policy changes, and that just proves that this is all about what our policies are. It's not some climate change-related or persecution-related flow of people. They're just waiting to see what the federal government's going to do, and if they think they're going to be released, they're coming.
Now, Jessica, I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Let's just give people, because, you know, we've been hearing about Title 42 for so long, and today was the first time I actually read about what it allows Border Patrol agents to do and how it does make their lives a lot easier and makes their jobs a lot easier when processing all of these people entering the country. Can you give people kind of a background into what Title 42 is, why it came to fruition, and what difference it makes when you're trying to expel someone from the country? Because I read that it takes less than 15 minutes because of Title 42. That could very much change going forward.
Yes, it will change, definitely. So Title 42 is an authority in our laws that allows the federal government to expel or prevent the entry of anyone, either a single person or groups of people, from crossing into our country or coming into our country from overseas if there is deemed to be a threat to public health. It's actually an authority that resides with the Department of Health and Human Services and those agencies, the Center for Disease Control. So President Trump invoked this authority at the borders in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, determined that, you know, if we were to let all of these people in coming illegally asking for asylum or even trying to cross through legal ports of entry, that there would be too much of a risk to public health of the spread of COVID-19. Much to the dismay of the pro-illegal alien advocacy groups, Biden continued this use of Title 42, basically not because he's so pro-immigration enforcement or pro-border control, just because it was a convenient way for him to have something in place that would allow the Border Patrol to turn back a lot of the illegal border crossers, although he has greatly reduced the types of illegal migrants who are actually subject to Title 42. Trump was applying it to almost everybody. Biden started saying, oh, well, first we'll let all the unaccompanied kids come in, exempt from Title 42, and then the families. And now it's only Mexican, Central Americans, and Venezuelans who are actually subject to it. But it does enable the Border Patrol to quickly turn people back instead of giving them a chance to either apply for asylum or some other claim to relief. We just turn them, not as much work for the Border Patrol, which is critical now because there are so many who are actually being released who have to be processed by the Border Patrol. They need all the hands they can get on these cases and more people back on the line because of all the gotaways who are coming through. So to the extent that they don't have to do all of the paperwork and processing that they normally would do, Title 42 is a big help. Now, I don't think Title 42 is the answer to our border crisis. I think we have laws in place that would allow us to stop this illegal migration. The problem is Biden doesn't want to use our regular immigration laws, so he's using Title 42 just because it's convenient.
Yeah, and it's funny you just mentioned this, but it's funny to watch these politicians and specifically these liberals who are very outspoken about how terrible Title 42 is now kind of relying on it and hoping that they can have five more weeks of it because it's the only thing that's really staving off this upcoming wave of more people. And we're already so overrun at the southern border. Just switching gears here, Jessica, I'm reading now from your colleague, Andrew Arthur, and he was writing about how the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, is invoking the invasion clause at the southwest border. And so I was reading about this and, you know, how he's invoking this clause from the U.S. and Texas constitutions this week. And when I see these stories about governors like Greg Abbott, and I give them a lot of credit, I know that they're trying their best and they're getting no help from this administration. Part of me wonders, like, why did we wait this long to do this, whether it be the National Guard or whatever the latest thing they're doing is? I'm always curious what took so long. Like, why aren't they throwing everything at this at once?
Well, the reality is that there's not a lot of things that state and local governments can do about this. There are some things. It's very tough because of the litigation that results and the fact that our Constitution gives control over our borders to the federal government and very little ways for state and local governments to contribute to that beyond what the federal government asks for. So this is kind of a last-ditch effort. Really, I think there are some things that Texas could do, like implement more mandatory use of E-Verify and a few other things that Governor Abbott seems to not want to do because of opposition from certain employers who are hiring a lot of illegal workers. But, you know, they're doing a lot already, but it's never going to be enough to really lock down the border unless the federal government decides that it wants to secure the border. So, you know, he's kind of stuck in a tough place, and you know, hence the busing of migrants to other parts of the country, and doing more or less symbolic things like this invasion declaration.
I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica, speaking of this article from Andrew Arthur, I want to read you one more part of it. It says, Joe Biden inherited what Rodney Scott, his first Border Patrol chief, described last September as arguably the most effective border security in U.S. history. Now, that's very different from what we hear from this administration. I know you've been covering all of these topics for a very long time. You're very well versed in it. Have you ever seen, when you look at these committee hearings, when you look at Alejandro Mayorkas discussing this and saying the border is secure, in your lifetime, have you ever seen this level of incompetence regarding the border?
Absolutely never. This is the worst situation we've ever had with respect to border security. Mayorkas knows the border is not secure. He just has no trouble lying through his teeth in front of Congress. He does that like second nature to him. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. Border officials under previous Democratic administrations have been able to get more control of the border and admit when it's a problem. Mayorkas is an open borders secretary, cabinet member. He just thinks that he can get away with just saying words that are untrue and meaningless. It's really astounding, and he has no respect for the men and women whose job it is to secure the border and to enforce our immigration laws according to our Constitution. He just has no respect for that. He's a hack, pure and simple.
That's a really good point, especially at the end, because I don't think they have any respect for him either, and you can't blame them. I mean, they're putting their lives on the line. They're doing so much, and they're getting so little respect back from him and from this administration. They seem to be hell-bent on vilifying the only people who are warding off this disaster that they've brought to our border. Jessica Vaughn, we thank you so much for coming on. And just so everyone knows, Jessica has a really interesting piece out from CIS.org about where families, released families, have settled, border crossers, where they have settled in this country. And there's a lot of good data in there. And hopefully you'll get even more data, Jessica, going forward, because I know they don't like to give you the Government Accountability Office and other places are, you know, they're not as eager to give up this information. Jessica, please tell people where they can read all of your work and where they can follow you on Twitter.
Everything we publish is on CIS.org. I'm on Twitter and at Jessica V underline CIS. And I've got some more reports coming up soon with some more information on the decline in enforcement, even at the county level, which has good information with Massachusetts in particular. So.
Awesome. We're looking forward to that. And if anyone wants to read this latest piece from Jessica, I've included it in my recommended reading at gracecurlyshow.com. So you can just go there and click. It will take you to CIS.org, and we're all set with that. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Grace. Good to talk to you.
Talk soon. Black Friday is now at Kayans. It's time to lean back and save on the awesome stressless chair at Kayans, located in Plymouth, Mass. And right now, you can buy a stressless recliner, sofa, or an amazing office chair. And you're going to get up to $1,500 credit towards the purchase of more incredible stressless products. Or you can save $400 on a stressless signature-based recliner with an ottoman and motorized classic power recliners. I know people who swear by the stressless line of chairs, and when you're sitting in a chair all day long, the least you can expect is for it to be comfortable, and that's what you're going to get here. There's never been a better time to have a stressless comfort for less. To see the best selection of stressless products, go to Kayans, located at 96 Long Pond Road in Plymouth, or go to kahians.com. That's kahians.com. We'll be right back with your calls. I see some people want to talk about Nancy Pelosi. Other people probably want to talk about Hunter Biden. Whatever's on your mind, we're taking your calls today. And I also have a hilarious story about a recent firing from MSNBC I think everyone's going to enjoy. We'll hit all of this when we come back. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Before you start writing off Sam Bankman-Fried as some sort of Ponzi scheme con artist. You should know that before the FTX collapse, the collapse of this cryptocurrency exchange, he poured millions into pandemic prevention, which to me, kind of a get out of jail free card. Not that he even needs one, because he also donated, what, $39 million to Democrats in the midterms? That's enough. That's 39 million get out of jail free cards. Bob, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Grace, thanks for being here. I really need people like you, and I don't know if you saw Pelosi's swan song. I guess the pandemic is totally over. Everyone was hugging, kissing, no masks in sight. And when we go to appointments, we have masks required.
Yes, we do. And, you know, Bob, I'm glad you brought this up, because earlier I was discussing how there's some things that aren't resolved for the American people. And I guess that's always the way. That's kind of life. But recently, over the past 10 years, there's been a lot of big life-changing decisions made by government officials that really impacted people. And the pandemic and these lockdowns were one of them. People lost their businesses and people weren't able to say goodbye to their loved ones, have funerals, things that are not easy for people to forget. And you're right, watching Nancy Pelosi, watching all of these politicians think that we're just going to move on without asking any questions is insulting. And I think you're onto something. And I also want to mention, as we're talking about Nancy Pelosi today, I was kind of confused about this because I kept reading all these stories about how her daughter, and I think this is the same daughter who mocked Rand Paul. She said Rand Paul's neighbor was right after he had his ribs broken and, you know, part of his lung removed, that Nancy Pelosi's daughter is going to take over for her. You know, she's going to carry on the Pelosi name. And I thought, well, how does that work? Like, they're making it seem as though she can just sidestep and walk into the office and she'll be good to go. But I asked Howie about it during the break, and here's what I've gathered. Nancy Pelosi is going to be very careful about when she decides to actually step away from this position. And the timing of it matters, because if you get a really low turnout special election, then she essentially could be handing it over to her daughter. Maybe not literally. Her daughter's still going to have to run. But if you have the kind of millions that the Pelosi's have, you have the kind of name recognition, and you have a very low turnout election, then, yeah, things are looking good for Nancy Pelosi's heir. And that, I think, is just something I wanted to circle back on because I had mentioned it earlier. 844-500-4242. But she's not stepping away just yet. She said, you know, one of my best titles is representing San Francisco. And everyone in San Francisco is like, hell yeah, girl, you're doing such a great job, as they step over a nice big piece of human poop on the sidewalk. I'm sure that they are very grateful to all of the work that Nancy Pelosi has been doing. Today's poll question is brought to you by, yeah, sorry, that was kind of graphic. Forgot it was lunchtime. Please accept my apologies. Today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Everything is crazy right now. Every day you look at the stock market, every day you look at your financial portfolio, it can be very nerve-wracking knowing Joe Biden is in charge. But there are ways to be proactive. You need Monetary Gold's free wealth protection guide. Order yours today at monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the GOP House Hunter Biden investigation will lead to serious consequences for the Bidens?
Yeah, but, you know, I did, and then everybody's raining on my parade. I feel like Barbara Streisand. Don't tell me not to live, sit, and putter. Life's candy in the balls, and the sun's a ball of butter. Like, where's the enthusiasm here? They're out there. They're talking about human trafficking. They're talking about all of this pay-to-play corruption. And, of course, I'm starting to think, wow, they're onto something. This is actually good. This investigation is actually going to lead somewhere. There's going to be people held responsible, namely Joe, Hunter, Jim. And then we do this poll question, and everybody tells me, no, you stupid idiot, you're wrong. So I'm still going to vote yes. I have faith. I think Jim Jordan is the best man for this. And James Comer is very impressive, too. So, yeah, I think so.
Everybody's entitled to be an idiot.
79% of the audience says no. 21% say yes.
Yeah, that really should be the mantra of the Grace Curley Show. Everybody's entitled to be an idiot. Well,
oh, oh yeah.
I don't say this often, Joe, but well said. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about ex-host Tiffany Cross and her problems at MSNBC. Plus, we are going to get into this FTX situation. Is it FTX or FXT? We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so I forgot, but luckily the callers didn't, that we are going to do Woke or Joke. It's 1:30 on Thursday, and it is sinful over here that I forgot that the Wizard of
You're
Woke...
You're a rude, terrible person.
I am. I'm fully admitting it right now. If you want to get on the lines and partake in Woke or Joke, the number is 844-500-4242, and it is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. A gift card to Aviva Trattoria is what everyone wants this holiday season, so pick one up at any of their five locations. To find the one nearest you, go to EvivaTrattoria.com. That's EvivaTrattoria.com. If you're not familiar with Woke or Joke, you've been under a rock, but here's how it goes. Taylor reads you a headline. You have to tell us, is it woke, as in it's real, or is it a joke? Did we just make it up? And if you are correct, if you are not a big-time loser, you will be entered to win a $50 gift card from Aviva Trattoria. Now, Taylor, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Jared,
are you ready?
I'm ready. Jared, can you hit it?
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Ha, 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 ha. Pink-haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
But the joke was on me. Oh, no.
All right, so without further ado, it is time to play Woke or Joke. Ed, are you ready for your headline, Ed?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Ed, here's your headline. The Office actor Rainn Wilson changes name to Rainfall Heatwave Extreme Winter Wilson to raise climate change awareness.
I'm going to go with that's a joke.
It's not a joke, Ed.
No.
It's woke.
I saw this.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
And I'm really glad, Taylor. I wasn't sure if this was going to make it because it happened a while. A
couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was his name, his handle on Twitter, but I guess...
Oh, okay. So it wasn't legally.
No, it wasn't legally. But I think it was just like during that time where you could change your name and then you couldn't change your name or
yeah.
something.
The verification process.
Twitter's a little weird now.
By the way, I just saw, actually, no, I'll save this for later, but one other thing I wanted to add in is when people were putting this story out there, they did make it seem like he legally changed his name.
Right, and this headline also.
And I was thinking, what a pain in the butt for your passport, your credit cards. Like, that's a long process.
That's a long name.
Dwight does not play a robot.
But he doesn't care that much to change his actual name, just his Twitter handle. Okay, let's go to... Allie, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your woke or joke headline, Allie?
I'm ready, Grace.
All right, Allie, here is your headline. Girl Guides of Canada to rename its brownies program to be more inclusive.
Woke.
It is woke. Very good.
Very good, Allie. I'm happy you won.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Okay, so are they going to call them birthing person guide?
They don't know what they're going to call them. Girl Guides is the same thing as the Girl Scouts, basically.
Right.
Where we have our own brownies.
Birthing people.
Is it still brownies in America? I don't know anymore.
Were you a Boy Scout?
No.
Were you, Jared?
I am an Eagle Scout, Bronze Palm.
What is that different from a Boy Scout?
That is the top echelon of Boy Scout. Speaking is to become of,
yeah,
the Eagle
he went
Scout.
All the way.
Speaking of
he
Dwight Schrute.
Yes, Eagle Scout is the highest rank of the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
Bronze Palm?
So, bronze Palm
is that
means...
like third place?
There are three palms, bronze, silver, and gold. You can get, after an Eagle Scout, you continue to get merit badges.
You stopped at bronze.
So you're an overachiever who didn't want to overachieve too much.
Yes. I wanted to moderately overachieve.
Now, here's a question.
Yes.
If we were to ask you to start a fire with just... whatever you could find outside.
Can you MacGyver things?
Could you do it?
I can MacGyver things, and I have started a fire with flint and rock.
Can you start a fire with your mind?
I actually have seen someone try to start a fire. It's hard.
Warm? It is very hard.
It's very hard. You really have to get the friction going there.
Yeah, you got to get the friction, the right spark, the right kindling, all that.
It takes a long time. The original name brownies doesn't refer to a color. It refers to Scottish folklore. Brownies were the name given to fairies.
Oh, I thought it was just the dessert. Because they're always selling like Girl Scout cookies.
No. And then changing it to Thin Mints.
I really did. I just thought it was, a tribute to their dessert ways. Interesting. You learned something new during World of
Joke. Surely do.
Okay, now let's go to our next caller. And by the way, if you don't get on right away, keep trying because the lines open up. Like, we have a couple open right now. It's 844-500-4242. You know who I'm going to go to next year, and you got to get ready. We're going to go to Dougie. I've never had this many Dougs now, and I think people just want to hear the song, and so they're saying their name is Doug. Dougie, is your real name Dougie?
Well, my real name is Douglas, but I don't like it, so I go by Dougie.
Okay.
I like the name Douglas.
Yeah, I like it too, but you know what?
No.
No.
Oh, God. No.
Okay, Dougie.
It's a terrible name. Should never be used.
Grace?
Yes, sir.
Grace, I love your show. But you don't go by Gracie, and I don't go by Douglas.
Amen, brother. Amen. I do not go by Gracie. Everybody knows that. Dougie, are you ready for your headline? I hope you win.
Oh, yeah, so do I. But, okay, I love your show again. But go ahead.
Okay, thanks,
all right,
Dougie.
Douglas, here's your headline. In conservation...
Foul.
Dougie, here's your headline. In conservation effort, California electric providers ask residents to light Christmas displays every other night.
Joke.
It is a joke, Dougie. Very good.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Do you put out Christmas lights outside?
Yeah.
A lot of them?
We've only had our home for a few years, so we're still operating off of borrowed Christmas lights from family members. But this year, I want to do something a little more. I've been looking at Amazon. I wanted to buy like in July so the lights are cheaper, but I've waited too long.
I feel like that's what everyone thinks they're going to do, and no one does
that.
Well, we look forward to seeing the final product.
It's not going to be great.
Okay. Expectations are low. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Bob. You've been on the line. You ready for your headline, Bob?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Here we go.
All right, Bob, here's your headline. Tiffany Trump's wedding date may have had white supremacist symbolism behind it.
Oh, my God. This is everything, huh? Jesus. joke.
It is a joke.
Oh, thank gosh.
God.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Good,
Bob. Get people riled up.
I'm glad you won that one, Bob, because I was about to have a real eye roll here. Okay, let's go to Mike. You're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
I am.
Okay, here we go, Mike.
Great, Mike. Here's your headline. Instacart's latest feature lets you shop Lizzo's vegan grocery list.
I'm going to say that's woke.
It is woke. Very,
very good,
Mike.
You know,
not a joke. Not a joke.
I just saw a headline on Fox, a Chiron, that was talking about people opting to have vegan Thanksgivings because of the price of meat, because of the price of so much stuff. I think Thanksgiving this year is going to be like 20%
more
expensive.
Vegan turkey is probably more expensive than a real turkey.
I don't know the numbers behind what vegan food costs, but I will tell you this. If I showed up to a house thinking I was going to get the classic Thanksgiving dinner and then they threw the vegan stuff at me, it would not be good.
I
would be very upset.
Be calling up Howie, say, can I join you for some filet mignon, please?
I mean, it really, and it's not even vegetarian. You know, vegetarian, people don't understand this. Vegetarian compared to vegan is like a whole nother world. Vegan's legit. You can't have really a lot of things.
Yeah, and they make foods that
resemble other foods. Right. Yes. Oh, you gotta try the
almond turkey.
Yes.
Ooh, no.
Try the mushroom bean loaf.
You'd like that. You're
it's
a big bean guy.
It's made with tapioca.
I'm a big bean guy.
You remember that thing we used to have playing in the in the
Oh, I like fluff. The beef and bean pie. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't forget that.
It had beef in it.
I listened to you talk about bean pie like 6,000 times.
I had forgotten that.
It's tattooed into my brain. All right, let's go to Kevin. You're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Kevin?
Yes, Grace, and just so you know, we're having turkey and a venison roast.
Ooh.
You know, so if you want some meat, you can come up our direction.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I do think the Curly House will have real meat, and my husband's grandmother is a big Thanksgiving woman, and she's from Texas, and she does it the right way. But I appreciate having a plan B just in case. Kevin, are you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Go for it.
All right, Kevin, here's your headline. Tired of white cis men? Gettysburg College wants you to paint your frustrations.
Well, I'm praying that it's a joke.
But it's not.
No. And you know what, Kevin?
Not a joke.
I don't want to call you out twice here, but we actually talked about this today. I mean, we actually talked about this week. So if you had done your homework, you would have got this right. I find this amazing, though, Taylor, because... And I'm not, of course, the first person to point this out, but it seems like we've gone so far back from the idea of judging people based off who they are and their abilities and, you know, their personalities or, you know, what they bring to the table. Now it's very much progress, and it's thought of as social justice to break people down just based on gender, sex,
and not just
race.
Break them down, be angry at the wrong ones.
Right.
Like, what? I didn't ask for anything. I didn't ask to be born this way, white,
cis,
and male.
You didn't have to.
You know what, Jared? We're going to get you an easel. We're going to get you some paintbrushes.
I'm a victim, too.
You're just going to, you can just paint Taylor all day long.
You ever do one of those paint nights?
No, I
haven't. Not a white, cis,
you would
male.
Think. You would think based off
you seem like
cis wine the type, right?
Wearing a very flowy kind of sweater thing.
Yes, having a glass of wine, yeah. Doing the paint by numbers. No, I've never been invited to one.
No. You seem a little peeved.
Actually,
no, I've never been invited to one.
All right, let's go to Shayna. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Shayna?
I am.
Okay.
All right, Shayna, here's your headline. So long, Mr. Claus. Seattle Shopping Center incorporates a gender-fluid jolly old soul for holiday photos.
I'm going to have to go with woke.
Oh, it's a joke. I'm sorry.
Oh.
By the way, that was
thank
a joke.
You.
It's not true.
Oh, Shayna, and she's so polite. She said thank you.
It's only a matter of time before libraries start hosting drag Santa story hours.
Oh, why are you putting that out
in
the universe?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought of that.
You're manifesting
it. As soon as I said it, it's going to happen now.
You're birthing person festing it. All right, let's go to Jeff. You're up next. Are you ready for your headline, Jeff?
Bagel back better, Grace.
Absolutely, bagel back better. Here we go. Here's your headline, Jeff.
All right, Jeff, here's your headline. Legendary San Fran oldies station bans songs referencing climate-damaging transportation.
Oh, that's got to be a joke.
It is a joke.
Oh,
very
thank
good.
Gosh.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
I was going to say, that's a lot of homework for the disc jockey.
A lot of songs would be gone.
Play Misty for me. That's what I always think of when I think of disc jockeys. Do you know that movie?
No.
You've never seen Play Misty for Me? You'd love it.
Bagel back better.
Clint Eastwood. Mm. He does the disc jockey thing at night. This woman becomes obsessed with him.
I can't imagine Clint Eastwood as a disc jockey. Maybe at nighttime, I guess. Because
Taylor.
A soft whisper.
That's exactly what he sounds like. Taylor, will you watch this as homework for next week, please?
Is it streaming anywhere?
I'll find it for you.
Okay.
Oh, I can't
yeah,
wait.
I'll watch it.
I can't wait to hear your review. You know who's in it is the woman who plays Jason Bateman's mom on Arrested Development, who passed away recently, actually. She passed away within like the last year. Can't remember her name.
We're spinning all
really
the...
Really good actress, though.
Spinning all the platters that matter.
This is what the movie is!
Stacks of wax, pal.
I can't wait. You're going to love this.
Jessica Walter.
Jessica Walter, yes. I
oh,
love her.
Oh, Jessica Walter.
Yeah,
rest in peace.
She is the crazy girlfriend. She's great at it, too. All right, let's go to one more person here. I want to give it to the person who's been on the line the longest, and that's going to be Tony. Tony, it's your lucky day. Are you ready for your headline?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Tony, here is your headline. Marvel exec says Black Panther Wakanda Forever is like The Godfather.
I'm going to go woke.
It is woke. Very good.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Always a risky move to compare your movie to The Godfather.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not necessarily a woke story, but I did find it sacrilegious enough to include it in Woke or Joke.
Yeah, no, I think it plays.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Taylor, the Wizard of Woke. We appreciate you coming on. And next week, you will give us your full review of Play Misty for me. Although, based off your impression there, I'm pretty sure you've seen it.
I have never seen it. I never knew it existed.
You have to give the review of the movie as Clint.
Yes.
Here's what I think, punk.
We'll be right back with more of your calls.
It's really a Joe Biden impersonation, isn't it?
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
Get off my lawn.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about FTX. We're going to talk about MSNBC's ex-host, Tiffany Cross, and a surprising update, a little bit of a random act of journalism, as Rush used to say, from the Washington Post, of all places, involving the Mar-a-Lago raid. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Get off my lawn.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley, you probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah, there's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
You know what we haven't heard a lot about recently? The Mar-a-Lago raid. I remember when the Mar-a-Lago raid was the biggest bombshell since the Russia hoax. I remember when it was the reason the walls were closing in. I wanted to give everyone this update because you're not going to hear about it in many places, but I do think it's pretty important to this conversation. Here's a small, insignificant follow-up from the Washington Post about all of those top secret documents that Trump had. And, you know, there was plenty of theories as to why he had them, conspiracies about what he was doing with them. Well, listen to this. It says that review has not found any apparent business advantage to the types of classified information in Trump's possession. FBI interviews with witnesses so far, they said, also do not point to any nefarious effort by Trump to leverage, sell, or use the government secrets. Instead, the former president seemed motivated by a more basic desire to not give up what he believed was his property, these people said. That does sound like Trump, doesn't it? The people familiar with the matter cautioned that the investigation is ongoing, that no final determinations have been made, and that it is possible that additional information could emerge that changes investigators' understanding of Trump's motivation. Of course, you know, the investigation continues because it has to continue. The investigations into Trump will continue for infinity. They'll never end. But here's the real kicker. But they said the evidence collected over a period of months indicates the primary explanation for potentially criminal conduct was Trump's ego and intransigence. I'm not gonna say that I'm shocked here. It's amazing, though. This report was published just days after the midterms. Again, the timing seems to line up just so for Democrats, doesn't it? When we come back, we're going to talk about FTX, and we're also going to talk about Tiffany Cross. We'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere.